Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, traders and investors. Welcome to this Monday, January 23rd edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm Spencer Israel, here with Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick. Today's show is brought to you by Chaikin Analytics with their groundbreaking stock research tools, including the proven Chaikin Power Gauge Rating and Stock Discovery Engine. Chaikin Analytics simplifies complex investment decisions, and it's all presented in an easy-to-understand platform, which if you're watching our show live, you see it up on the screen. To learn more, visit chaikinanalytics.com/premarket. That's Chaikin, C-H-A-I-K-I-N, analytics.com/premarket. And I'm putting a link in the chat right now. This is what their platform looks like on the screen. McDonald's, because McDonald's just reported earnings this morning. They're one of the stocks we are talking about. Of course, they just came in a moment or two ago. We are also going to talk about the follow-through in that Merck Bristol Myers settlement, some Cascade fallout, and more. We had two guests for you today. First one is at 8:15, the Reverend Emmanuel Lemelson. He's the founder and president of the Lantern Foundation. He's going to talk about his short in Domino's. And then at 8:35, we're talking with Tommy Lackey. He's the managing partner and portfolio manager at Relativity Capital Advisors. Joel, how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Saw a Michigan basketball game, a Michigan victory. They had Star Wars characters there. I sent you guys pics of that. Got a few swims in and ready to go here. S&P is trading down 475. Bob Wire wants to know if the rally is over. Well, just another day of being in a trading range. But really, the 2265 level, I'm going to talk about that again today. 6650 is your pre-market high. Moving over into some of your commodities here, you have crude trading down 9 cents. I saw an interesting tweet from Zero Head saying the last time speculators were this long crude, it totally collapsed. So we'll see if that happens this time. Gold and silver trading in the green. Gold up $8.30 at 12.1320. A couple highs up there at 12.20 if you want to keep an eye on that for another move higher. And you have silver firmly in a 17 handle, up 13 cents at 17.16. Good morning to you, Dennis. How you doing on this Monday morning?
Doing pretty good here. Quiet, though. Looks like, you know, we're down here a little bit, but pretty quiet action overall. Not a lot of earnings, not a lot of new individual news.
And we've got a big earnings week coming up. And
yeah, we do.
Today we can start with Mickey D's, but
I don't know.
We'll have to check with the Brentster to see if this is actually the busiest week for earnings. But
I think it's next week.
Next week?
I'm calling next week. Yeah, I'm calling next week. We'll see what the Brentster. He always knows, though. He's following it all. But I would say next week's the busier week. I know, like, you start getting into, like, this week we've got a lot of, you know, major companies. There's some big ones reporting here. You know, Alibaba's going to be tomorrow, Johnson & Johnson, eBay, Boeing, Intel, Microsoft, Google, Chevron. So we're going to hear from some big guns, but it's really next week where you really get into the heart of earnings season.
All right, let's move on. We just want to start with the Mickey D's report.
Yeah, start with the Mickey D's report. And, you know, these news algos, I watched it buy this stock right on the initial report all the way up. Where did it go? 126?
25 and a half.
120, so up 3 points. I watched actually nothing in the whole, like, book. They swept it out and there was nothing until 132. I threw an offer out at 130 right away. I was like, hey, you want to go a little higher? I'll sell Mickey D's all day at 130, even without reading the report. Anyways, it's come back in here now. So give us the details here. What Mickey D's have to say, Spencer, where this news algo looks like it already threw away $3.
Q4 EPS, $1.44 versus $1.41. Revenue, $6.03 billion versus $5.99 was the estimate there, so beat on the top, a beat on the bottom. They report Q4 global comps up 2.7%, but down 1.3% in the U.S. So that's something to keep an eye on there.
The report's okay. I mean, it's an okay report, but this is Mickey D's. This is a thick stock. And when you start seeing Mickey D's trade up $3, they've got to really blow it away because this stock's beta is very low. So, you know, and that's why I was just looking. I was like, whoa. not as a big move. I was like, this must be a monster report. I'm looking, like, those numbers don't look that great to me. I actually have a high. It must be an odd lot of 126.05. It's coming back up here. It's at 123.34. So, like I said, it looks like a decent report here, but $3 up on Mickey D's, that's a long ways. I think you're going to struggle at 124, but it's early here yet. So let's see, you know, what happens here as a digest report. It's only been out here for 5 minutes, but that's where we got up to. We got up to 123.99 back on the 22nd of December. I think that's your first initial point. And you had multiple highs up there too, like 3-4 times up there near 124. There's probably a big institution sniffing around or looking to sell some stock up there at 124. And that's probably why it topped out there multiple times in December.
And Dennis is giving you some potential resistance point here. What I'd like to focus on, though, is the 123 level. I think that's going to be your level of control. Last four highs between 2280 and 23 even. So for this to be a bona fide breakout to the upside, 123 has to hold. We're trading 16 cents above that here. Now we're under 123. So I think 123 is still
chopping around.
Yeah. I mean, if someone was out there 4 days in a row, you get this report. I mean, do they got more stock to go here in 123? So that's my level. Keep an eye on today in Mickey D's. And also, they have some new Big Macs coming out today, right?
The bigger Big Mac. What's the details on that, Spencer?
I thought it was a bigger one and a smaller one. Is what I thought.
Well, they got two different. They're gonna have three different sizes.
You know
of Big
what?
Macs?
I'm gonna ask the Benzinga's McDonald's aficionado Luke. So hold on 1 second, because he would definitely know. So give me a second.
They're gonna have the Big Mac, the little Big Mac, and the Big Mac.
I'll report back in a second.
They're gonna have to. I heard they're bringing back the two old beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on the sesame seed bun.
Isn't that what it is? They were the McDonald's song. You singing the McDonald's song.
That was, this must have been like 100 years ago when that campaign first came out. If you could say it without a mistake within like 2 or 3 seconds, you
okay.
got it.
They give you one?
Big,
all right, I got it. The Mac Jr. So there's the Big Mac. There's now the Mac Jr. and the Grand Mac.
Ooh.
The Grand Mac.
Yeah.
What is the Grand Mac? Do you have the details? I want to know what the Grand Mac is.
Oh, I've got the details for you. It's for Big Mac lovers who want even more beef. The Grand Mac weighs a third of a pound each. I guess they're just larger.
Oh, God.
They're just larger. Yeah.
I'm interested. I might just run myself over to McDonald's here after the show. The only problem is they don't serve lunch until 10:30, right?
I think the Mac Jr. is just a regular hamburger. Yes.
Based on that, I'm shorting it at 123, but
Joel just put his sell rating in on Mickey D's. He doesn't like the bigger or the smaller Big Mac.
All right.
24 is my number, guys. It gets up there. I think it's starting to leak here, though. I think this thing could end up going red here, it looks like. So when you see a stock pop like that and give 90% of the gain back, sometimes they do go red. It's a decent report, but this earnings season has been funny, and they've been selling the companies on good earnings reports. So careful if you trade Mickey D's. We also had a Halliburton report. Oil conglomerate HAL Spencer. What did Halliburton have to say?
Halliburton had to say Q4 EPS of 4 cents. That beat by 2 cents because the estimate was 2 cents. And the revenue is $4.02 billion versus $4.09, so a miss there.
And Halliburton is trading just slightly down here in the pre-market. Like we said before, these oil stocks always just seem to trade with oil anyways. I mean, you know, they deviate for a little bit with their earnings report. By the end of the day, they're just trading along with oil. Oil is down here today. It's probably more of an influence than it's in even its individual earnings report here. But just give us the technicals here on Halliburton. It's been a pretty impressive run for this stock. I mean, everybody was throwing this away back in the beginning of 2016 when the stock got down to $29. And just quietly, the stock almost doubled through 2016 from its lows, that is, when it got down to the $29 or $27 area. Now we sit up here at $56. Joel, go short-term and long-term with some levels.
Long-term, not looking for a continued move to the upside until you can take out that $56.98 high. Got up there on Friday here, but kind of stalled, had a gap-up session. I think crude was up a buck and a half, so that attests to what you're talking about. To me, on the downside, just looking at this daily chart, not a lot of trades here in the pre-market. 54, I'd be holding on to that level. A couple lows above it, a couple lows right at it. So 54, man, also it traded there in November and December. That's my area. It cut below.
I'm not even sure it gets through 55.
You don't even think it gets through 55 today?
Nope. Unless oil just collapses, I think this is just going to trade along with oil. It's pretty. What's the low of the pre-market here?
It's hardly traded. I see one trade here. All right, well, Dennis doesn't think it gets below, 55? I don't know.
I'll throw out a lunch bet for you there. I say it doesn't trade below 55 today.
I don't know. That's too big of an edge.
It's too early for that. Mickey D's just did trade to the red just briefly there. It's come back to the green, though.
All right, two lows, 55.05, 55.20. So, all right, 55. I'll bump it up from 54 to 55. On the upside, Friday's high, 56.30.
So that's your two major earnings reports. We're going to get Yahoo tonight, so let's take a quick look. And we will preview some of these other earnings here as well just a little bit later. We're going to have, two guests here today. So once we get later in the show, we'll do an earnings preview of the big companies reporting this week. But just quickly preview Yahoo here. I mean, nobody really cares that much about individual Yahoo report because we know Yahoo just trades off of Alibaba anyways. But let's talk Yahoo here. Just give us some quick technicals on YHOO.
42.50, that's your area of resistance bump there. 3-4 times over the last couple of weeks coming back on the downside. 41.80 to 42 even, that's your major support. Actually, that 41.70 to 42.02, boy, oh boy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lows in a row. If you want a reason to be bullish, Yahoo, pick up your Barron's, the old breakup value, $60, all these different sums of the parts. I mean, I don't think I'm really getting on board, but I think once this spinoff finally goes through with Verizon, they get rid of Marissa Mayer. Once again, they're talking that breakup value. But as Dennis always mentions, the value of Yahoo is in its Baba. Is this going to have to pay taxes on the windfall? Baba just hanging in there between 95 and 97.5. So
Baba reports tomorrow morning, exactly. So everybody following. So if you're trading the Yahoo report, it's going to matter more, not what Yahoo says tonight, but what Alibaba says tomorrow.
Exactly.
You were just talking. What were you just talking about? Now I missed what you were just talking. You talked Yahoo, Marissa Mayer.
Barron's.
Back up the tape. Barron's. What else did Barron's have to say?
Oh, they had a lot to say. I'll just give it to you real quick. They're bullish GameStop. They're thinking
bullish GameStop, GME.
Yeah, they're just
bid up this morning.
Yep, they're just thinking that they're still selling stuff, and that Michael Pachter's theory that they're shedding some fat, and the hardcore people are still going to be there. Digital ad growth is going to give a big lift to Alphabet. They're looking for 20% upside here. Talked about a smaller veterinary and dental supplier, bullish too. Patterson Companies, and don't bet against Netflix. And
Netflix.
Yeah, JC, when we talked to JC on Thursday, and this is probably the heart. This is like the trade I can just never get on board on. And you talk about is this a gap and go? I mean, are you that excited? Like after this earnings report, just to buy this thing at 138 and stop yourself out at 134. I don't know. I mean, that's what they're calling for. I mean, I guess if you're in the stock when they finally have the subscriber growth go down, you're in some trouble. But bullish Netflix and
so Viacom, they liked.
And you know
they
what?
They like Viacom.
Yeah. And you know what? In the trader, you know what? They were super bearish.
What?
Disney.
I don't like Disney. House of Mouse.
Yeah, they're just saying.
Poor Disney. Everybody's getting it up on Disney up here now. And that's counterintuitive because usually the media and the analysts chase price here, and Disney's had a pretty good run here for the last 2 months. But now everybody's like selling high. That's kind of what they're supposed to do: buy low, sell high. So they're kind of doing it the right way on Disney, in my opinion.
They're just
bearish when the stock goes up.
It's just that they're still worried about the ESPN subscription.
I'm worried about the 110 level. You know me, order flow. I don't care about anything fundamental to the company. I just say that 110's a brick wall. I had such a run here. That's why I'm bearish Disney.
And Dennis has issued a report. He's bullish at 110.01 and bearish.
Because 110.01 and bullish again.
And bearish at 109.
It works, man. Those big levels work. Ace knows. Those psychological levels work, especially when they got the size there. So, that's how I trade. I trade off order flow. And, made my living for 17 years trading off order flow. I'm not going to quit now.
All right, 8:15, we're going to do a double guest today, and we're going to bring on Reverend Emmanuel Lemonson. He's the founder and president of the Lantern Foundation, and here's a guy that's not afraid to make some stock calls. So we're going to take a quick break and see what the Reverend's up to. We'll be right back.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.
Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Chaikin Analytics. I'm your co-host, Joel Alkanen, along with Dennis Dick and Spencer Israel, and we have a special guest on the line this morning. That would be Reverend Emmanuel Lemonson. He's the founder and president of the Lantern Foundation. Reverend, how you doing on this Monday morning?
Great, Joel. It's good to hear from you. Thanks for the invitation to be on the show.
So are you excited about those New England Patriots?
Joel, I have to confess, I don't follow sports too closely.
All right, so let's get to what you do follow, and that is the markets here. And let's just start out with a couple of your longs here, and you've been talking about these for a long time. Let's just start with the granddaddy of them all, Apple. Are you still holding your full position coming into the upcoming earnings report?
Yeah, we are actually, Joel. So we did reduce, in all fairness, our position in Apple at the end of 2015, and that was in order to make larger allocations to the oil and gas space. But we did keep a good part of it, so it's still a significant part of our portfolio. In January 2016, when the markets were really volatile, we did add back to that position. So we're still holding it, and that reallocation wound up being pretty positive. So, I think it's still undervalued in the long run. I mean, you look at the FANG stocks, and Apple generates a huge amount of free cash flow, and they've still got a buyback. They've got a healthy dividend. And, you've got the super cycle with iPhone 8 coming up. So I can't think of a compelling reason to sell. I mean, it's better than holding cash.
Yeah, unless you got a better place to put your money. That's a good
point.
Yeah,
I think that's right.
All right.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's probably not the most enterprising investment in the world if you were really seeking, outsized returns. But I think it's a defensive one, a safe one.
All right, that safe is always good. Another favorite of yours, and you've been on this one for a long time, Geospace Technologies Corporation. Stock got hit with the oil crisis. It's been coming back a little bit. You've been trading in and out of it or still holding your core position?
No, we've just been accumulating it, Joel. If you were to go back and listen to some of our interviews over the last couple of years, we said from the beginning, really in late 2014, that if it took us 2 years to realize a return on that stock, we'd be okay with that. And, in the middle of 2015, we told the partnership that we intended to move out of technology so that we could reallocate some capital to hydrocarbons of the oil and gas industry. I mean, it was really an extraordinary fall in the price. I would say, in fact, by January 2016, it was something of a panic, right? So we were able to buy a significant part of the company in January at very favorable prices, $8, $9, $10 a share. And that wound up being a wise decision. Apple would recover, for example, but not nearly as much as our investments in oil and gas. So we went from, I think, 5.5% of the company at fiscal year in 2015 to 9% by the end of 2016. And we said repeatedly on your show over the years that, we hope to get 10% of the company. So we're getting closer to that mark.
All right, just a real quick update on Legand. This is one you've been trading. You're flat at now, though, still sticking with your thesis here on Legand Pharmaceuticals.
Absolutely. Joel, I would say for anyone interested in the subject of drug pricing, abuse of the Orphan Drug Act, anyone who's followed the Mylan or the Valiant stories, touring pharmaceuticals, anyone interested in what Martin Shkreli sort of helped expose, I would say go to lemelsoncapital.com, read our letter to the U.S. Senate Special Committee on Aging. It's a 9-page letter. It's worth reading for anybody interested in the topic. It really covers some important facts. Ligand is an interesting company because it really is at the nexus of this sort of new breed of pharmaceutical companies that doesn't engage in R&D per se. what they do is they try to locate these orphan drugs that can get these patent-like protections in the Orphan Drug Act of 1983. And then, of course, an almost limitless price increases after that once you have those protections in place. So Ligand's unique in that world because that's basically almost their sole function. You know, Martin Shkreli, he took a lot of heat publicly for what he did, but what a lot of people don't realize is it was John Higgins, the CEO of Ligand Pharmaceuticals, who put Martin Shkreli in business. You know, as smart as Martin Shkreli is, and of course his aptitude is misapplied, you know, I don't think he taught himself that business model. I think he became aware of that business model, and he was very flamboyant in how he executed it. But there's a larger systemic problem. I think all Americans should be interested in it. In a way, and these billions of dollars are sort of being thrown away on these exorbitant, and we can even say nefarious price increases. It contributes to a larger fiscal crisis in our country, the national debt, so we should all be interested in it.
Hey, Reverend, this is Spencer. I want to ask you about your Domino's comment. You had some pretty interesting things to say. You said that Domino's investors will be better off buying tulip bulbs in March of 1637. You said that their company or their debt structure resembles a pyramid in shape. So elaborate on your Domino's short position.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So first, let me just say some good things about Domino's management team. The founder of the company is really an archetype of, I think, astute and ethical corporate leadership. And I think the current management team, I don't want to indict them too much because they may not be fully aware of sort of this path they've gone to. And it's part of an industry-wide situation. I mean, if you look at Papa John's, it's not totally dissimilar from Domino's, although Papa John's is significantly better capitalized. But if you just walk through some of the basic numbers of Domino's, I mean, there's always positive things being said, and all these analysts are saying great things. KeyBank came out last week after we released our earnings, and they quickly put a $200 price on the stock. You know, you have to ask yourself, at what price does it make sense? I mean, okay, there's some growth in revenues and some growth in earnings, but if you were to look back over a decade, over 10 years, you'd find that revenue per share went from, say, $22 a share at fiscal year 2006 to $46 in the last 12 months. You know, it's about doubled. But during that time, book value per share went from negative 9 to negative 40. So you're buying a company that has no equity. So what does that make you as a common stockholder? It really makes you almost like a bondholder. You're sort of buying the debt because you've got this massive amount of debt. But you don't have really the protections of a senior secured note holder. You don't have that sort of first position that the debt holders do. And this is a company with really de minimis cash on hand and enormous debt. I think their debt is $2.23 billion. And they're really relying on this expansion, especially internationally, to grow revenues. And these international traders, it's just not that profitable. I mean, they're subject also to any changes in the currency. So they're really relying on a strong dollar. It looks like under the Trump administration that's not going to be a priority. And, you know, you look at their costs of labor and energy, and especially food costs, which labor and food is like 50% of the operating costs of these franchisees. If you look at just the cheddar block price on the CME, and if that went up by 25 cents a pound, you'd be looking at operating costs at a franchisee going up by $2.2 million. If you multiply that times, I think it's 1,325 franchisees, you've got an entirely different picture. And, you know, these debt covenants are egregious. I mean, if this company couldn't meet its 2019 principal payments, which is 800 and somewhat million, I think, you know, you would have a default. And, you know, there's a saying from Proverbs that, you know, the borrower is the slave to the lender. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave to the lender. When you have a company this in debt, I think it goes from compulsion and addiction. You're addicted to sort of cheap money to you're boxed in. I mean, you don't really have that many options. Domino's is basically owned by its lenders. I mean, they have all sorts of really restrictive debt covenants. And I don't know that the common equity, the buyer of the common equity today, fully realizes they're buying something with negative equity, and they don't have the protections of the lenders. So, you know, you're like an almost exact opposite situation you'd want to be in with a good value investment, where you could make an equity act like a bond. You'd have like an equity bond situation where you're getting the benefits of a dividend, but where there's no debt, for example, you could treat it like a bond almost. And those becomes almost like a bond payment in a financially sound company. But in this situation, it's almost exactly the opposite. You're taking all the risk with none of the protections because you have negative equity.
What about their technology? You know, the technology is something that they've been lauded for in the past, is for getting ahead of their competitors in terms of technology.
Sure.
It's super easy to order pizza, you go on the app. They're just if you look at, you know, other fast food or pizza places, Domino's is something that they've put a focus on that, and it's certainly helped the business. So, I mean, how does that play into your vision?
Do you think it's defensible? I mean, is the site that good? I mean, you go to the Domino's and say, like, wow, it's incredible. I mean, I see something that looks like almost like 1999 graphics is what I see when I go there. I mean, it's just okay. I don't think it's defensible. I mean, where's the intellectual property defending it? I mean, this isn't, you know, we're not Facebook sitting in Silicon Valley, you know, with a bunch of guys having a hackathon, you know, all night long. It was just okay, frankly. And, you know, they should be applauded for being out in front of it. I mean, every entity in the world probably could benefit from technology, right? The question is it defensible? I mean, do you think Papa John's or Pizza Hut can't emulate that? How long would it take?
I mean, right, they're not Facebook, but the fact that they're ahead of their competitors, it's easier to order Domino's than it is to order Papa John's. I don't know. I mean, it is easy. I've done it before.
I've eaten two, actually. And, you know, I don't know that the premium should be placed on that. I think that's a story that's driving the stock. I'm not convinced that it's a defensible competitive advantage over the long run. That's all I'm saying. You know, I think when you buy a stock, Spencer, you have to ask yourself, you know, you have to be able to delineate between price and value. Price is what you're paying and value is what you're getting. I mean, at what price does that value come at? Is it really $200 a share like KeyBank is suggesting in their note last week? I don't know that investors today are really asking that question, but at what price?
Reverend, let me interrupt you here for a second. So, I mean, when I, you know, not doubting your thesis on this or anything. I mean, is this something that the company is, like, fully aware of? Because, like, you talk about, you know, things with Legan and, like, it's the, you know, the higher-ups kind of knowing what they're doing and kind of almost I don't want to use the word criminal or kind of, you know, approach to it. But, I mean, obviously they run these kind of, you know, these kind of deals and the debt structure and everything. I mean, 1, 2, 5, 50 different accountants and, you know, different bankers and stuff. I mean, is it something, you know, that's being done malicious, or is this something that they don't really recognize they're doing? Or is it just based on cheap money and they're just counting on cheap money and
that's a really good question.
Keep coming in?
Yeah, really good question, Joel. So when we compare these two, I think it's great to run this parallel. You know, we questioned Ligon's accounting in 2014. We wrote 6 reports. And as you probably know by now, they're facing 12 class action lawsuits for securities fraud. We said in 2014 that one of their key royalty-generating assets, Kyprolis, would fail to Takeda Pharmaceuticals' Velcade. We wrote that in a 2014 report. That happened last year in the fall. The stock dove precipitously. We stated publicly in July, we stated in July that if they had to write down the value of their Viking entry, that they would suffer a precipitous fall. 10 days after we made those comments, that's exactly what happened, the company sank. So, you know, when you have 12 law firms alleging securities fraud, something's wrong. And now it's becoming a bigger issue. In the case of Domino's, I think you said malicious. You know, if I was forced to bet, I don't know these people, but I would bet it's not malicious, not as in calculated. I would bet that they simply got carried away with their own story of their own success. And it's a good story, but it's not that good, actually. I mean, again, if we look back over the last decade, revenues have gone from roughly $1.4 billion to $2.3 billion, roughly doubled. Net income has roughly doubled from $100 million to $200 million. But during that time, you know, total equity has gone from minus $500 to minus $1.9 billion. And the market cap has gone from $1.7 billion to $8 billion. So, you know, it's getting really super expensive. I do think, even if it's not malicious or calculated whatever on the part of the management of Domino's, I do think they could do a much better job at warning investors. You listen to this investor conference they gave recently, and they're just so upbeat about everything. And I don't think they're doing an adequate job of warning investors of the potential risks. I mean, something like 5 states now are going to have minimum wages to be $15. I mean, the cheddar price, it's volatile. And it tends to go, I mean, it's been really artificially low and for a while and throughout 2015 and 2016. So, you know, they really need to do a better job of cautioning investors, I think. And I think any prudent management team would always err on the side of caution when it comes to their own stock. And they really should come out first telling investors where the risks are at. So I wish they'd do a better job of that, certainly.
Do you think there's something that they, you know, they could rectify this? Is there, or is it just, you know, it's just kind of like a snowball out of control and, you know,
I think it's getting a little bit out of control, absolutely. I mean, they've got now a dividend that they're trying to pay all the time. And, you know, they've managed to goose revenue per share and EPS by share by these buybacks. But should a company with minus $40 a share in book value be borrowing more to pay dividends?
Do you have a target?
Look at the price they're buying at.
Do you got a target on
it? Look at the price they're buying. You know, it's probably worth $50 to $75 a share. We keep building our short. You know, it's not only our biggest short position; it's the biggest short position we've ever taken a company in the history of our fund.
All right, we will.
And I would say, just like we said in the Skechers, you should look at our Skechers short in 2015. You know, we said the slightest bump on the road is going to be a precipitous fall. I would say the same thing with Domino. You know, anyone who's in business long ago, business is nothing but a sequence of bumps on the road. There's going to be a bump in the road for this company. There's going to be some sort of problem with costs or projections, and people are going to start asking questions about the price. And I think when that happens, they're going to realize these are really, really expensive valuations. You've got the company buying back shares at, I think, the last purchase.
A little bit too high.
$149 a share.
All right, we need to wrap things up. We've been on the line with Reverend Emmanuel Lemelson. He's the founder and president of the Lantern Foundation. Thanks a lot, Reverend. We'll be talking to you again soon.
Yeah, great joining you guys. It was a pleasure to be on the show. Take care.
All right, 833, S&P's hanging out, 2261 even. Let's just the big earnings report this morning was Mickey D's. We'll take a look at that to see how that's trading.
Leaking.
Is it leaking a little bit?
Yeah, down a buck almost now.
All right, that 123, that seller was still there. Dennis, what do you think about Domino's Pizza?
I always appreciate the Reverend's arguments there. He's very, you know, he's clear on his points here. He sticks to his thesis there. I mean, it's worked out in the past. So I take note when he talks about stuff like this. And I've said for a while, too, you know, I feel like Domino's overvalued as well. But I thought it was overvalued 50 points ago. So I think, you know, Emmanuel Levelson obviously feels the same way when he's given a price target of 55 or 75 bucks. So I'm glad I haven't been shorted for the last year. But that being said, you know, this is this company that's, you know, performed very well, really. It's just a matter of can they, you know, is it a valuation issue for me? I think, you know, it's gotten a little bit ahead of itself. I think, you know, I have multiple highs in the 170 if you were trying it from the short side. You know, I always want an out. And stocks making new all-time highs, I don't want any part of being short them. You know, it's a little bit opposite, you know, to what the Reverend's strategies are with their longer-term fundamental strategies where I'm a little more technical. But, you know, if I was shorting it here today at 167, I'd say if it starts making 173, 174, call it even 175, I think that's where my out would be. So I'd be risking 7 points. Maybe going for, you know, I like my 3-to-1 risk reward ratio, so I'd be going for like 20 points or so, you know, maybe down to 147 area. That would be the setup on it. I'm not doing that, employing that trade, but I'm just saying if you're just shorting stocks, you know, you usually want to have an out somewhere, and I don't like to be short personally stocks making you all-time highs.
Let's just go to 2010 here. That's really when it turned. And this is a monthly chart here, and I don't even think since 2010, I mean, we could count it up, that 3 red months, 4, 5, 6, 7.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, less than 15 months of red candles. 2 months ago, that would be back in November, you got 2 red candles in a row. So it's really seemed to recover from the monthlies, from the 2 red candles. That's what you're having here in January. So we'll see how this thesis plays out here in Domino's. All right, 8:35, we're going to take our second break of the day. We're going to bring on Tommy Lackey. We missed him last Monday because of President's Day, but we're going to bring him on. Tommy Lackey, Managing Partner and Portfolio Manager at Relativity Capital Advisors. Right back with Tommy.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.
Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Chaikin Analytics. I'm your co-host, Joel Alcon, along with Dennis Dick and Spencer Israel. Joining us is Tommy Lackey, managing partner and portfolio manager at the Relativity Capital Advisor. Tommy, are you focusing on the dogs of the Dow?
No. Why? Did you hear mine in the background?
I think there's a theory, though, when the dog starts barking, I think it's bad for the markets, though, there, Tommy. I agree. We want the dog indicator.
Yeah, that's not mine. They usually just lay around, so they aren't really good indicators for much.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
All right. General markets. Yeah, go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been moving sideways for about a month with the major markets, small caps, and also the S&P, and then you've had the NASDAQ 100 just continuing to kind of climb, but nothing drastic. I think this still lends to a positive resolution, but you certainly need to be ready for a breakdown, just in case it does, because patterns can always go out both sides. The thing I would say about that is, how many times last week did people say that the IWM was breaking down? It never quite made it. And I think that's something just to make sure you're keeping an eye on as you're moving forward.
Tommy, let's jump right into your nitrous scan here. And we haven't explained the nitrous scan for a while, you know, and we have new listeners here on the show. Just explain, you know, the parameters here for the nitrous scan, and then we'll jump into a few individual stocks.
Okay. The nitrous scan is basically a setup that plays off of RSI, actually a derivative of RSI. It's the 9 SMA, or simple moving average, of the RSI. I look for times when it moves above 60. And basically, because oftentimes that's when you'll start seeing the RSI itself starting to get a little overbought, people are starting to get real scared of it or run away. And yet I found, and through Andrew Cardwell, who actually developed most of this research, found that basically once it gets past that level, a lot of times it can continue to trend. And sometimes you get your big, fast moves off of that. So you certainly have to have your risk management involved. And all of my scans are basically just to point you to the chart. From there, you're going to have to make your decisions and your game plan, but it's to look for accelerated moves that other people might think are already done.
You got a lot of little mid-caps on it, the scan, on the nitrous scan this week, but let's start with the first one, ACHC. So looking at Acadia Health Company, this is not a company that I actively trade here, but it's a company's stock price that actually moves pretty big, and we've had a pretty big run here. Just even in 2017, we started the year down around $32. Now the 38 handle, what are you seeing on ACHC?
Yeah, and most of that move came in the first few days, and it's moved sideways for a few weeks. You got a big volume at price area right here, that if it can break over it, I think you head up into that gap that you can see on the daily charts, that if it can get over this level, and I put over 40, if it can clear that 40 level, it gets up into the gap in the probably 43 range, 44 range. And then from there, it's just a matter of whether it wants to climb the right side of the space. If you look at it on a weekly, it's just been crushed the last over the last year and a half. And it looks like if it can come out of this small base on the weekly chart, you have some room up to around 50 before you get big resistance.
Here's a stock that's actually near all-time highs, SATS EchoStar.
Yeah, this is one I hadn't heard of in a long time. You know, it was one that traded popular 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And it just kind of fell off the radar. So when it popped up today, I thought that was interesting. And looking at the daily, it looks like it wants to kind of break out. A few days ago or middle of last week, it had a little shakeout, brought it back down to 50, and then it recovered immediately. So if it can go out these highs, I think it takes it up to test those major highs at 55. And I think that's something a little over 55. And I think some people ought to take note of. A lot of people try to wait for that larger breakout, but one thing I've noticed in my career is that when you look at breakouts like these that are kind of smaller internal breakouts that lead you right up to a larger level, a lot of times that original breakout can release enough energy to push you through the second one. So if you can get in a little early.
Cree, C-R-E-E, you're looking at a base forming here, and I see what you're talking about here, kind of rounding and getting towards the top of this base as well. What do you like in Cree?
Yeah, I mean, you've got a little small one. It's off the lows, obviously, from last November pretty heavily. Came from 21 to 28, another big mover. But it's moved sideways for almost a month now, and now it's working back up towards those highs. So on this one, I think you could, again, take an early breakout here, know you're probably going to have a little bit of congestion at 29, but I think this one probably can get up into the low to mid 30s without even breaking out. And that's the scenario that if it gets above those levels, you have a big right side of this, whatever you would call it, cup or whatever to build.
Applied Optoelectronics AAOI. This thing had a big pop a week ago. It's been sitting here. It's digesting it now. What do you see in AAOI?
Well, this is why it makes sense to take a step back and look at the longer-term charts on this one. If you look at the weekly chart, it's got a really big W pattern. It was an IPO back in 2013. Came up to these highs right after the IPO, and then it's just pretty much moved sideways down and just flopped around for a couple of years, and now it's starting to head back up on some pretty strong volume on the weekly. So basically what I've said here is, you know, holding the 30 level, or you could even trade it against 28 if you wanted to, something like that if you want to give it more room, or you could wait for that pullback, because there's a good chance this one might fill this, back test this. The question whether it fills that gap or not, I don't know for sure, but that's one of those things, you hate to leave big gaps like that open behind you.
Autodesk, ADSK, another one that's been a pretty impressive move here for 2017, started the year down around 75. We're already up near 82 bucks here. Where do you see Autodesk heading?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, I agree with you completely that we're up near 82 off of 75, but that's almost an exact mirror of what we did for December. So, yeah, it's somewhat of an extreme move, but it also is just retracing the move that we saw about the same amount of time, about the same amount of distance. And so it held the important moving average, the 50-day moving average, very well, moving back above all the important ones now. So I think this one has a better chance to break out here, and there's nothing above to stop it if it wants to keep going.
One more, an ADR from the NitroScan, NetEase, N-T-E-S. You're looking at a flag breakout.
Yeah, another one we hadn't talked about in a while. I hadn't heard much about in a while. But if you look back on this chart as well, it's kind of the same thing. It's had a nice rounding base off that 210 level, worked its way out of it at the beginning of the year, and now it's kind of flagging sideways above all the important moving averages. So if this one can pop above it, a lot of times people will say that the second leg of the flag is usually about the same distance of the post that led up to it. That would put us right near those all-time highs, and you kind of have to see how it works there.
We're on the line with Tommy Lackey, Managing Partner and Portfolio Manager at Relativity Capital Advisors, discussing his scans, setups for today. Tommy, let's move over here to the meltdown filter, and starting out with TravelZoo.
Yeah, and one thing I'll say is the meltdown was actually longer than the NitroScan today, which I know you love, Joel. And basically showing that this sideways is starting to affect the market some, it just hasn't really caused a tremendous amount of damage. But on TravelZoo, one of the travel names we just don't hear about much, and it's certainly not performing like EXPE or Priceline or any of those. It continues to want to roll over. It got below an important level around the 950 area last week, and now it's testing this area about 910, I guess would be a good way to put a good place in that area. I mean, I wouldn't wait all the way till 9 if it starts moving on down, but the volume pattern and footprints are pretty negative, and it looks like it wants to break this. If it does, you're probably going down to around 830 to start, and then I think 750 is probably your next level.
All right, moving on here, breaking from a large consolidation, XON.
Yeah, this was a popular name last year when it ran up, and it's just pretty much given most of that back and then decided to move sideways for a while, which the question is it basing or not? And at this point, it doesn't really look like it's ready for that yet. The last leg is a pretty strong one down, decent volume, on balance volumes making new lows. So I would expect this one probably has a little further to go if it can't hold this level right here. And then if so, you're probably heading to test 20. And then, of course, the lows are around 15.
And, Tommy, you also stress on these trades, you know, they're kind of looking both ways. I mean, it's support is support is, you know, until it's broken. So I know you try and look at these trades on both ways. Let's move on here.
Absolutely.
Yep. Being nimble. Moving on here to another stock that's near support, but may have some pressure on it, AEGN.
Yeah, this is one. That's a good example right there. That, you know, it's right here near support, but it's one of these you definitely would want to do a both ways, look both ways type play, because the bounce off the moving average, the 100-day moving average, was not exactly impressive last week. You had a lot of fighting, I guess is the way to put it. But it's in the strong industry and in the industrial space and all that. If we do start getting some of the quote unquote infrastructure news coming out, it also sitting right on the bottom of the cloud. iCloud, huh?
Ichimoku.
Yeah, that thing. It's sitting right at the bottom of that, and it's still pretty large green space. I mean, I think it's got a decent chance to find some support here, but the way it bounced the last few days, I would keep an eye on it and make sure if you did take it long, you were pretty tight.
Yeah, that's another kind of technical formation Dennis and I, you know, talk about, you know, with, you know, large cap stocks, big stocks, you know, if they have a institutional buyer or seller at a level, let's say for this one, let me pull it up here on my chart. You know, if there's a big buy order there and it just keeps on, you know, absorbing all the sellers, sometimes when it closes closer to that area, 2143 is the low of the move, you know, it only has to travel, you know, if it closes at 2160, it only has 17 cents to take out. Today, you know, it would have to travel, you know, 57 cents. So hang it in there. We'll see if it can get down into that open area. A couple more here for you before we let you go. WMB, what are the charts telling you on this one?
Yeah, this is another good example of kind of look both ways. It's coming right down here at the support around the 28 area, and the 150-day moving average is right here as well. So, you know, the way it's moved sideways, if it breaks that, it could be a quick move on down to the 26 zone. However, there's a lot of option, a lot of very bullish option flow in this. The latest was 110. There was about 2,327 puts were sold. And so 27 is likely an area that you could find some support if it does. So you just want to see on this one on both sides and make sure that you keep an open mind, because it's been one of the stronger players in the energy space until that gap down a week and a half ago.
Downward dog.
And that was on a secondary that they announced.
Downward dog wants your technical take on SSNI.
Okay, let me get this in.
It's trying.
Yeah, it's taking a second to pull up. There you go. Okay. It's just a really long sideways pattern. It's trying to hold these recent lows, but if you put back on the weekly, it's right in the middle of the range. So really on this one, 1250 looks like a pretty important level in this range, but it can move all the way down to 10 before you've broken out of the range. And that's something that's tough for me to where, unless you're trading it really, really tight on a break above probably 1320, which is basically this falling wedge that we're in right now on the daily, it's a tough one to play because it's right in the middle of that weekly range until you get more clear signal.
One final one for you here, Harris Corp. Now, this kind of illustrates what I was talking about before. 99.79, the low of the move, went out 1.0019. The monthly looks real pretty in this one, but the daily, it looks like it's getting a little tired. Tell us about your setup in Harris Corp.
Yeah, and the weekly looks like it's trying to roll over as well. So, you know, Harris is one, it looks like me, looking like it's come off this. And then it's just had about a four-day flag. It's moved sideways, but it's below most of the moving averages that I follow. And the next one down is the 100 down at 97.50. So it's got some room there. And then you look left on the chart, and right around 93 comes in the 150-day moving average and a big gap that was this move higher. So I kind of think if it loses this flag here, it's likely to fill that gap and head back down and retest this breakout area around 92.50 to 93.
Tommy Lackey, managing partner and portfolio manager at Relativity Capital Advisors. Thanks a lot, Tommy. We'll speak to you again next week.
All right, thanks, guys. You'll have a great week.
Thanks, Tommy.
8:51. S&P's very, very quiet range here during Benzinga's pre-market prep show here. Dennis, what are you making at this quiet?
Well,
I have
one thing I want to say.
Yes.
At around 9 o'clock, there's going to be a meeting at the White House with CEOs regarding manufacturing. Elon Musk was seen heading in Also, Bloomberg.
Whoa.
Bloomberg has reported that the CEO of Dow Chemical, I believe, will also be there. He was previously appointed to be on one of Trump's many councils or advisory board positions, so expected he'd be there as well. But what's up? Anything up with Tesla this morning? Because Musk was seen heading in a few minutes ago.
It's trading up. So, and when was this reported? Because Tesla just started to catch a bit. It was trading in the red. Well, it's slightly, but it's now bid up over, well, it's up 50 cents here this morning, trading at 245.21, bid up at 245, 245.10, though. So bid up significantly, you know, fairly significantly on a day that we're down.
Well, actually, I saw it across my newsfeed at like 8.25, I want to say.
Yeah, so, and I can see, you know, buyers starting to step in just after that time, 8.22, it looks like 8.30 is when they started to lift it up a little bit there. So, you know, light volume here, but probably a few people just speculating that, hey, Musk going in there can't be bad for Tesla, can it?
And another move here in dry ships. We are trading.
Another reverse split?
Yes, another reverse split, Dennis.
The king of reverse splits, dry ships.
Yes, and so it's really flat on the day at $8, because I believe it went off the board at...
$1.01.
Yeah, $1.01. The saga continues. I just want to check the new all-time high here in dry ships.
Did it just fade away?
I don't know. Did I?
What do you have for the all-time high? Anyways,
it might be the same. 189,618.48.
So you're telling me there's no chance?
Yeah, I would make a bet on this one. But
it's traded down here a little bit. The king of reverse splits. We know there'll be a short squeeze in there eventually again somewhere, but who knows where? I mean, this thing reverse splits at least its way down to $2 or $3 again, and then it'll have some short squeeze where it'll run $100 or something. The stock is just nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, it just keeps reverse splitting, and I don't know. Is there going to be any float left eventually? They keep reverse splitting stock.
It's going to be like one share. Is it going to trade?
One share. I don't think I've ever seen a stock reverse split that many times. So Ace was alerting us to that last week there when we were talking about it. But, you know, it's funny. You can be funny about these things. Sometimes they can get, you know, less off it. But right now it's trading 785, which actually would put it down about 3% on the day because it just did close. Is 808 for the 8-for-1 reverse or 1-for-8 reverse split.
All right, Qualcomm had some bad news on Friday, and subject of a downgrade here from Nomura. It says cuts Qualcomm 3 months after upgrade, so kind of flip-flopping on Qualcomm here. The news on Friday, Apple's going after them in a lawsuit here. Not sure. Let's just look at the price action, see how the market digests. Oh, boy, they hit it on Friday, and they still got their foot on it now.
Yeah, they're hitting it pretty good here again, down another almost 5% here this morning. So, you know, I think this is follow-through coupled with another downgrade, obviously, as well. I mean, $60 is a big level. It's right where it's trading at right now. You know, technically, when we look at it, we just got back down there right around in September. We got down to $59.93. So that's the important level. And then you got some air below that, too. So I don't know. It's a little bit tricky because you break through 60, you had that big run-up just going, you know, on the dailies. Is you see that when we went from 55 to 60, Joel, back just in the summer, a lot of air below 60.
Yeah, Apple since one. Time? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I was short, I'd be tempted to bring it in. I mean, it's kind of old news on it. Nomura upgraded it three months ago, and now they're downgrading it. So if you would have sold it when they upgraded it, and now you're buying when they downgraded, you'd have a pretty good trade here. Apple seeks $1 billion in withheld rebate payments from Qualcomm. I mean, it's a lawsuit, right? Is it going to necessarily come to fruition? I don't know, but the street certainly has a negative slant on it. The reason Dennis mentioned the $60 level is because you had two monthly lows back in August and September of last year at $60.02 and $59.93. I'd say it closes above $60.
I have no bet on this. I can't get a feel for this one. I know 60 is important for it to hold. I think it might bounce here the first time, but I mean, stocks are funny and they can get smacked. I mean, it's 3 points, another 3 points. The stock was $65 just, you know, Friday. So, you know, it's got a lot of momentum to the downside right now. There's a lot of air below, which makes me scared. Like I'd say, you know, the first time I would think maybe it would bounce around this level, but because there's so much air below, it makes me too scared to go long it there.
Anything in ratings land today? I know the analysts.
There was a few, like the Qualcomm we talked about. Spencer, what else do you got?
That was. They're not a whole lot. I mean, that was one.
CSX got an upgrade.
I saw Morgan Stanley upgrading Dish to overweight. Morgan Stanley.
Verizon was downgraded.
What else did I see? I saw Barclays upgrading Southwest Energy to equal weight. They're all over the energy space this morning. Goldman Sachs at CVR. They downgraded CVE. Deutsche Bank upgrading MetLife to buy. Nothing major.
Nothing really jumping on saying, whoa, that's a big call there. So, and Balanceland, we'll give you a quick update because we only got 2 minutes left here. Morgan Stanley, 132,000 to sell. Bank of America, 116,000 to sell. JP Morgan, 50,000 to sell. Citigroup going a little bit the opposite way, 30,000 to buy, but I expect that's going to probably flip to sell just because everything else is sell and balance in the financial land here this morning. Oil, we know, is trading down here already. Mickey D's is still trading down a buck after their earnings report here. General Electric, 125,000 to sell. It always seems to be a sell and balance in General Electric in the morning. That's pretty much it. A little bit of buy and balances in the gold miners because gold's trading up, but fairly quiet. One stock, which we didn't talk about yet on the show here, and which was crazy on Friday, was Bristol Myers. You're actually seeing a buy and balance of 147,000 shares in BNY here this morning. That's why stock is trading up 44 cents here in the pre-market. There's a little bit of news after hours on Friday, something about, you know, some payment or something. Settlement.
With Merrick. Yep, settlement.
Yeah. So that was a little headline there that gave it a little bit of a pop here. But, I mean, here's a stock that has been absolutely murdered, you know, basically because of this lung cancer drug here. They hit it, and then they hit it again. And now you're looking at it here down $49. You know, it starts to get interesting. Dividends down 3.1% here. But, you know, it's also, you know, arguing the second time down here. And sometimes, you know, when you come down here the second time, sometimes they bounce. They come down the third time. Then, we always say jokingly, no such thing as a triple bottom because usually third time's a charm. They take it out. Just concerning, you know, that it's given back so much, and there's just the sentiment towards the stock is terrible right now. So, you know, it's difficult. I don't know if you need to run here and buy it. It's going to be right back at $55 or not, especially with the overall sentiment towards drug stocks in general. This is like the worst of breed right now from all the drug stocks. So, you know, I think there's some value here somewhere, but I'm sitting back and kind of hoping it comes lower, and then I might pick some up.
All right. Well,
quite a bit lower, though.
good luck to trading all here in the first full trading day of the Trump administration. So, S&P's, I'm still looking at that 2265 level. Your close was 2266.50. Let's see if we can break out of this long consolidation phase. Spencer, you want to wrap up today's show and preview what's on the docket for Tuesday?
Sure. On tomorrow's show, we've got Nick Shaheen on, as we do every Tuesday at 8:35. He's our options expert, the author of Create Income with Option Spreads on MarketFi. We're also going to be talking tomorrow's earnings reports. As we've mentioned, we've had Lockheed Martin. We have J&J. We have Alibaba. So a couple notable ones tomorrow in the pre-market. If you missed any part of our show today, you can catch the whole thing again. It's on YouTube right after we're done here, but also the podcast will be on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Just search for pre-market. Also want to remind you again, today's show is brought to you by Chaikin Analytics with their groundbreaking stock research tools, including the proven Chaikin Power Rating and a stock discovery engine, Chaikin Analytics. Simplifies complex investment decisions. To learn more about it, just go to chaikinanalytics.com/premarket. That's chaikin.com/premarket. You can see it on my screen right now. It's a pretty easy to understand platform. It's actually very easy to understand. I actually have been using it the past few weeks. So you can see the charts here. You can also, this is their discovery engine where you can enter a stock that you're looking at and it will show you stocks that are similar based on various criteria, not necessarily sector, but a little bit more deeper than that. So this is the platform, again, chaikinanalytics.com, chaikin.com/premarket. All right, that's our show for the day. Hope everyone has had a good morning and you have a good rest of your day. We'll be back with you folks on Tuesday.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.